Greetings again. At this time, open your Bible to Psalms 107. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Usually it's my custom to set aside a message to help us to a greater degree be thankful, and this morning's message will be more of a topical than expositional, but I want to start in Psalms 107. I have a list of every message that I've ever preached since I've been here. Some of them had been a series of morning and evening, or even morning, evening, and the next morning of the following week. So I've done several different ones, and one of the things that I would, not only do I have my title, I have my passage that I dealt with, I was surprised I have never done Psalms 107. Now, I'm not going to do an exposition because I just did it not long ago. But in this psalm is one of the great psalms regarding the giving of thanks to the Lord, and that is much needed and reminded. You know, if there's ever a time people become unthankful, it's when they have plenty. It has seemed to be a universal rule. The more you have, the more ungrateful you are. Could you just assume and expect and want more and more and more? Our nation used to be a very thankful nation, and I mean thankful in the truest sense of the word, that we gave thanks to where it all began. Today we celebrate Thanksgiving just simply family, food, and football, rather than God and God alone. And title of my message, Oh That We Would Give Thanks to the Lord. Beginning in verse 1, let's read on to verse 9. Follow along as I read. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. And He led them forth in by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful work to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning as we ponder this subject in a more deeper and profound way, that we need to truly be people who not only give thanks, but are people with thankful hearts. And so often when we give thanks, it's a one-time thing rather than having an ongoing spirit of gratitude that should be pervasive and always within our hearts and our minds and part of our disposition. Father, we pray that You'll use this message as we work our way through the Scripture, and the fact that we need to be not only thankful, to whom do we be thankful, but how we can maintain and deepen and broaden our depth of thankfulness. So, Father, we pray these things for Your name and for Your glory. In Christ's name, amen. When you look at Psalms 107, it is a moving exhortation to give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing goodness towards his people. This divine goodness flowed from his eternal loving kindness and faithful love towards his own. Beloved, this psalm is focused on giving thanks to God for his steadfast goodness. And it is repeated what was stated in verse 1 and 8. It repeated three more times in verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. And each one in between talked about how God had delivered, how God had provided, and how he displayed his goodness. And in every case, it was like they said the same thing. They cried out in their trouble. He delivered them. And then the psalmist would say, because of God's unfailing goodness, unfailing love, and loving kindness, may men give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. Francis Havergal, I quoted it before, one of our great hymn writers, said, if I could write as I would about the goodness of God to me, the ink would boil in my pen. Think of that. How often do we have a hard time even getting anything out of our mouth of a way of thankfulness and a way of praise and a way of gratitude and an expression of thankfulness to God for his goodness. And here Frances Havergal said that just holding her pen, and as she pondered and reflect in her heart, meditate upon the goodness of God, the temperature of her heart would rise, that it would go out to her hand, and the ink in the pen would boil. Oh, that we would have that kind of depth of understanding the goodness of God to us. There are things that he had done that we take for granted. There are things that he does for us that we are oblivious to, have not taken the time to give thanks for the simple thing, for as the air we breathe. One Puritan, Thomas Watson, said that every breath of air we take is the breath of mercy. Because God doesn't owe it the next breath, and yet he gives it to us day in and day out. We don't even think about it. We just breathe in, we breathe out, we breathe in, we breathe out his air he provides for us. A mercy, and yet we don't always give thanks. So, I had, like I said, a topical. So point number one is, who are we to give thanks to? Well, for Christians, that's the obvious one. That's found in Psalms 92, verse 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Let it come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let it shout joyfully to him with psalm. Now notice what it said there in verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Think of all the times we come into his presence. We come into his presence in the aspect of when we gather together for corporate worship. Do we come not only to praise his name, but do we come together with thankfulness? Do we come together in his presence when we come together with him in presence in our fellowship and communion with him? Excuse me. Or how about that time when we go into our closet and we come into his presence when we pray? We are to give thanks in every one of those situations, in every one of those circumstances. We are, the question that I pose to you, do we come before his presence with thanksgiving joyfully? That's what the Psalm 92 verse 2 said. Let it come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let it shout joyfully to him with psalms. The only way you can come into his presence with thanksgiving is when you have taken the time to reflect upon the goodness of God in your life, where he had actually touched your life, he had intervened in your life, he had been involved in your life, he had done it in the way of his care, in the way of your redemption, and in so many other multiple ways. Here is the one to whom we should worship and give thanks. We are to offer to God the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, because he is the source and origin of all perfect and good gift. We learn that from James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift. It from above and come down from the Father of life. Beloved, God is good and cannot do otherwise. God's essence does not conform to some outside standard of goodness. God is the standard of goodness itself. Psalm 119 verse 68, you are good and do good. How simple can it be? God is good. He is always good. He is never not good. This essential attribute of God means that all His other attributes, such as His power and wisdom and others, are aspects of His goodness. Being essentially good, He cannot do anything that is not good. Psalm 50 verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Psalm 69 verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. If people heard our thanksgiving, would their perception of God begin bigger and more magnified as you continue wave after wave express His goodness to you? That's what the psalmist is saying. Folks, when I was looking up for all the different verses for thanksgiving and giving of thanks to God, I didn't have any shortage of verses. My problem wasn't finding them. My problem was selecting which one. There were so many, it was like an avalanche. Beloved, God created everything good, and such goodness can only be received from God alone, who is the fountain and the spring of all goodness. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. That phrase alone is also used throughout the Old Testament seven different times, such as Psalm 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Again, 118 verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. There is actually an entire psalm dedicated to giving thanks for the goodness of God. That's Psalms 136. For all 26 verses are devoted to praising God for His enduring goodness and the giving of thanks for it. Psalm 27 verse 13. Here the psalmist would have fainted, would have been given over to melancholy or depression had he not witnessed or seen or realized something. Psalm 27 verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Beloved, God is good, and He is worthy of not only praise but thanksgiving for anything and everything. God does not owe us His goodness. God is not obligated to be good to us. God is not indebted to do good to us. And yet God is good to all, especially His people. God is infinitely good, beloved. He is perfectly good, immutably good, steadfastly good, faithfully good. And it is His goodness that we should see, that we have witnessed, that we have experienced, that we should turn around with thankful hearts and thank Him for it unceasingly. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. One commentator said it this way, all His divine perfections and attributes, God is infinitely good. This is the truth and foundational and important to every believer's understanding of God. Everything good in one's life has come down from God above, who is perfectly good, whether the expression of His goodness be spiritual, physical, or emotional. It is the direct gift of a good God to His people. In the midst of soul-crushing difficulties, and when surrounded by life-threatening dangers, believers must remain fixed upon the goodness of God. Let all the saints give thanks to the Lord who remains immutably good. Even in the difficult circumstances and bad time, let it declare that God is good, end quote. Hebrews 13, verse 15, right at the end, in the midst of the challenging of the Hebrew brothers throughout the book of Hebrews of to let go of the Old Testament trappings, they've been fulfilled in the perfect work of Jesus Christ, a sacrifice once for all. At the end, last chapter of the book, from a practical standpoint, it said this, therefore, all that you learn, therefore, by him, let it continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks. We don't have to do Old Testament sacrifices, but we have to give New Testament sacrifices. What is that, Pastor? The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We are to give of ourselves, just like the saints of old, they had to give of their animal for the sacrifice. That's what God required at the shadow of the perfect sacrifice in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look back, we look at his finished work, and we look at those who have experienced his goodness and his grace and his forgiveness. We have to offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving continually. Continually. So God is the one we should worship and give thanks to. Number two, what are we to be thankful for? We start by thanking him for all that he is. One of the biggest things that we have to overcome is too often we give thanks for how good he is to us instead of focusing on thanking him for the greatness and his majesty and all that he is in himself. For the fullness of his perfections we are to be thankful for. The infinite beauty of his attributes and his majestic glory of his character are things worthy of giving thanks, that our God is glorious and majestic and great. Our God is not only good, he is infinite and beautiful and glorious in all of his aspects. His greatness rests in who he is. The stuff he does, his wondrous work that we saw in verse 8 of Psalm 107. His wondrous work, that comes in a moment. But it all starts with the greatness of his person. God's distinct attributes. Here are some of them. He is self-existent. God is spiritual. God is eternal. God is sovereign. God is holy, righteous, and just. God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. God is immutable. God is truthful. God is infinitely wise. God is good, kind, and benevolent. God is gracious. Oh, here's one we all love. God is love, grace, and mercy. God is also righteous in his wrath. Oh, the list goes on. The glory, every aspect, when you take just one of them and you study everything the scripture said, man, you're going to plumb a long way down. In fact, you're going to run out of oxygen. You're going to have to get another tank to go back down. There's so much depth to the greatness and the goodness and the majesty of our God. We scarcely skim the surface. We could easily say we barely go past what we see on the outside of the iceberg and not the 90% that's underneath the water of the iceberg, which is the depth and the greatness of God. This is just his attribute. It doesn't even count all the different names he's been given and the titles he's been given, which is a whole nother realm. Psalms 107, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. and for his wonderful work to the children of men. There's another thing we need to give thanks for, not only for who God is, but for his wonderful works. His works of creation, his work in provision, his work of care, his work of salvation. It is never ending, beloved. They had blessed with so many wonderful things. This speaks of his wonderful works that he does for us every moment of every day. Some of his works were great, monumental, intervening, answering the prayer. Probably the greatest prayer that we have ever prayed was, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And yet God in his goodness through his son Jesus Christ granted that answer. Oh, that we, when we look, when you get into systematic theology and you grab a good old-fashioned systematic theology book, whether it's a single volume or multiple volume, you'll usually have 10 disciplines. And the first one starts with Scripture. Where are you going to get your authority? Scripture. Okay, now that we have established where we got our authority from, what's the most important thing we should learn? God. When you go to God, you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, before you even begin to deal with all the rest of the stuff in theology. But it talked about God and his person, and then it talked about God and his works. Works of redemption, works of creation, works of providence. God had been so good and so kind. We need to thank him for his goodness and his blessings and his benefits in all of life. It is our duty to open our eyes to see what he has done and to remember them and recall them. Forgetfulness of his past mercy is not good. It is aptly a sin. One of the things he said over and over to the children of Israel, especially to the group that is known as the Promised Land generation, in the book of Deuteronomy, just before they were entering in into the Promised Land. Do this, teach your children, lest you forget what you have seen, what you have learned, what you know. And yet, so often we have a tendency to be forgetful. Not to constantly, we get distracted, we get busy with life, and life goes on. We answer to the one who gives us our every breath. And he is worthy of this praise. He had blessed with goodness for our souls, goodness for our bodies, blessed spiritually, blessed physically, providentially. How many times? I'm guilty. We're all guilty. How many times did we answer prayer? And I remember there are times when we had prayers that were a really heavy burden at the moment. And man, when he entered it, and he entered it the way we were hoping for, and he did, boy, there was jubilation and excitement, yes! But it had the tendency to wean away, and to decline, and to fade. Instead of, we're supposed to use that and bring it as a continual reminder that would move our hearts to thankfulness. You cannot have thankfulness when there is a void there that would prompt that thankfulness. The whole purpose of my method, you already know point number one and two. That was the given. We should give thanks. Who should we give thanks? Why should we give thanks? I wanted to answer today something I've never done before. I want to answer the question that point number three. How can we become more thankful? For that, I would use as a reminder Psalms 103 verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. For those who've been around, I have done several messages on Psalm 103 because it is a great Thanksgiving psalm. But the question I want to pose at this point is, how can we be more consistent in our gratitude toward God? Why do we fail to give thanks to the Lord? I believe as a result of searching and asking God to help me with the answer to that question, it lies in our forgetfulness to remember past blessings and mercy. And I found some really uncanny verses that tipped me to this direction. Let me read a couple of them to you and let me explain it so you will see what I mean. Psalm 6 verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? Think about it. Now, he's not talking about us who's still left behind. He's talking about himself, the psalmist. If I'm dead, I have nothing to remember because it's all right and eternally in front of me. If I'm dead, I can't give you thanks anymore in this world. And the thing that was interesting, that he connected the word remembering and thankfulness. If you're dead, no longer will you need to remember, no longer will you be able to give thanks. Here's another one, Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. What is the thing that adds fuel to our gratitude and thankfulness? Things we recall and things we remember of his past mercy. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will deprive you what the Lord had done. Okay? Well, I remember many years ago when I was a young adult Christian, and we had a youth pastor who was our song leader at the time, and he one time wanted to insert, instead of one by one, he inserted the word ton by ton, which is more accurate. And yet, when we don't recall, we fail to give thanks to the depth and to the degree, to the consistency that we should. Thanksgiving is not something that we should give to our Lord once a year, once a week, but every day and every moment of every day. Because we got that many mercies to be thankful for. Psalm 97, verse 12, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. We do not intentionally keep all of the past blessings and mercies of God before our mind. Even when you do a study, man, I had so much at this point, I had to trim it down. So here's what I came up with. I went through Deuteronomy to find some verses, what he was really saying to that promised land generation, as opposed to the Exodus generation who rebelled in unbelief and didn't enter into the promised land because they were led by unbelief. He was warning again and again to this generation. You're about ready to go in. You're going to go into land that you've never developed, you never called, you never tilled, you've done nothing. It's been handed to you on a silver platter and let you get puffed up, let you forget. You need to remember this, recall it, and teach it diligently to your children. One of those verses was Deuteronomy 32:18. Of the rock, God, who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. How did he father them? Well, they were a nation that came from one man, Abraham. Later we get Moses, and then now they're in slavery in Egypt, and God delivers them. That's when they become a nation for the first time, as a nation. You are my people, and I am your God. And as they are marching, that first generation, no, second generation, he speak, they were unmindful and forgotten. They failed to diligently, carefully take heed to remember. That generation saw so much. God sustaining them through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. God and the 10 plagues in Egypt. My goodness, they saw so much. Not all of them in that promised land generation didn't. But we need to understand, we too have been given a lot. Here's another thing that I found that would hinder us from being thankful and becoming forgetful. And that is the attitude of pride. Based purely on the scripture of Deuteronomy 8, verse 14, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. They were to never, it was built into their sacrificial system. They were supposed to have continual feast days to remember all of this stuff regularly in detail, not just that, you know, event, date, and places and people, but to realize to take it personal and serious and intimately, that God took an interest in them as his people. Pride can get in the way. The very thing that God provides for us, that sometimes pride will seep into thinking we got it and we did it by our hard work and our diligence and our planning and our scheming. No. If God didn't grace you with all the ability to do it, it wouldn't happen. Not to mention, if he didn't want you to have it, you would not be blessed. And therefore, because you have been blessed, who deserves to be thanked? Don't let pride come in and ruin it. Here's another one. Disobedience is a sure cause of forgetfulness. Find this in Judges 3, verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served idols. Beloved, we need to develop and strengthen our memories of the many displays of the goodness of God in our life. We not only have the goodness of God in our lives, we have the goodness of God in other people's lives. We see God at work and his display of goodness everywhere all the time. And too often, instead of it leaving a strong impression, it's dull and foggy. Doesn't have sharp impression that both to leave a mark. That is yours and my duty to remember, to recall, and to never forget. To start taking note. Because every year you live as a believer and as a Christian, as a child of God, it's supposed to heap more and more reason to prove the goodness and the love of God for you and for his people. What do I mean? It's one thing, I learned this one from Dr. Joel Beakey when I went to the conference a few years ago in California. And he used the illustration between him and his wife. When they first got married, they were in love and loved each other. And they would do various things to show and display that love toward each other. And when he stood and preached that day, and my wife and I had been married X amount of years, and over the years, I have not a handful from when we first got married, our first year, or first 5 years of marriage. I have all of these years of the thousand upon thousand upon thousand different ways my wife had said, I love you. Why would I ever doubt that my wife loves me? Because of the thousand upon thousand upon thousand of ways she had done it. How much more when you multiply it to the nth degree of the goodness of God, and yet there are times when the littlest thing gets it agitated against him when he has shown you millions upon billions upon trillions with a T and oh, whatever else is after that of his goodness to show you his love, his goodness. Can't we take a bunch of that and fill our heads and be filled with thankfulness all the time? I came across a very unusual book. I'm looking forward to hoping to read it someday. It was entitled something to the effect, The Happiest Man on Earth. What caught my attention was the subtitle, A Survival of the Auschwitz Camp in Germany. I have read and watched many documentaries and stories of people who have survived Auschwitz concentration camp that Hitler raised up. Most of them became bitter atheists and turned their back on God. Or nominal at best, because they still can't seem to get over the hump why God would allow that. But at the end of the day, this particular man's whole life was transformed by it, that he was spared and he wanted to give his life as a shining testimony to the goodness of God in sparing him. He did not want to spend his life in bitterness. He wanted to spend his life with that resounding joy that rang deep into his soul. Oh, beloved, God had been good to us in so many ways. To develop and strengthen our memory, we need to take time to recall and meditate on past blessings and benefits. We need to reflect, ponder, and contemplate what we have taken for granted for far too long. Not only to think of them, but allow them to warm the affections of our hearts. I've been with many of you when God answered your prayer in the absolute positive way, and the joy and rejoicing we had at that moment was special. I too have witnessed many answers to prayer, and I have to admit my own self, my affection is not quite as warm as the moment it happened. But I should relive it and rethink it, because it will do nothing but to warm your heart toward the God who answers those prayers. We need to be thankful for answered prayer, spiritual deliverances, progress in our sanctification, victory over sin and temptation. By the way, I'm giving you a bunch of things you can share on Wednesday night. How many of us have been given health mercy? How about relationships you thought were destroyed and broken, been restored? Healing from past hurts and pains of others, and the list goes on. If there were no God and if there were no creator, this would be one brutal world to live in. But because God is our creator, and that he's good, and he is good in so many ways and on so many levels, we need to give him the thankfulness that he is worthy of. We need to always remember that he is the source of every blessing. Always. Do not forget to thank the means for which he uses people. Somehow, in some way, God will move on their heart and they will minister. But we're real good at saying, thank you, I appreciate what you did for me. Whatever that may be. But don't forget ultimately him who is the origin of it all. The source of it all. The beginning of it all. That's why James 1:17 need to be front and center. Every good gift and every perfect gift came from him. You may not see it, but he told you he's in it. But whatever you do, never give thank the means of the blessing more than the source of the blessing. Don't you remember the story of the 10 lepers? Think about that. All you have to do is understand the life of a leper when a person became a leper and how they are ostracized from their family and from society usually for life. And then you have this man named Jesus comes and heals 10. Boom. How many came back to thank the Lord for healing them? One. Granted, they're probably so excited they want to go see their family and hug their family they haven't seen in a long time. But it doesn't remove the fact they failed to give them thanks before they left. How many times have he delivered us and given us so many blessings and we failed to stop and wait a moment to give thanks? And then go and enjoy the blessing he gave. How could they forget their plight and healing so quickly? They already forgot. Pretty selfish. Oh, beloved, it's always wrong not to give thanks. How do I know that? Hebrews 6:10 says this. Listen carefully how I'm going to bring this to you. For God is not unjust to forget your work of labor, your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Think for a moment what it just said there. God said, I will never do anything so unjust as to ever forget what you have done for one of my own. Even God himself said, if I were to do that, I would cease to be a just God. So if it is wrong and unjust for God to forget anything that you have ever done in the labor of love for his people, how much more would it be wrong and unjust for us to forget any of God's loving kindness toward moment by moment for us each day? I think the key, beloved, is to take the time to remember. Start writing things down, recalling. Use the paper and let it add and add and grow and grow. It will surprise you. Not only what he had done, but when you take seriously the cumulative blessings and goodness of God, what it will do to your soul. It can help you to get on your knees to say thank you. I do not deserve this. I am not worthy of this. But that makes him, again, back to my point, him such a great God that we have. Not only is good, but loving, gracious, and kind. So the greatest lesson we need to come from this is work on remembering the goodness of the Lord so you can give thanks to him for all that he is. And all that he's ever done, both for us and for those around us. Father, we thank you. We would not leave for a week if all we did was simply praise you and pray and thank you for all of your blessings. That's how manifold they are. Father, help it to detail them, not generalize them. We have the scripture to show us how to have eyes to see. May we ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see your goodness, your blessings, your benefits. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us where there are times in a time of trouble that was both to lead to blessings and benefit, we complain. But at the end, we realize you made no mistakes. You were infinitely wise, infinitely good, infinitely perfect and loving. Help it to be a thankful people for your amazing grace, for your amazing care, and your amazing providence. That even during the worst days of our life, we can all say on the authority of your word, there is a loving purpose for it. And that purpose is your glory and our ultimate good. Oh, Father, help us to be thankful people. In Christ's name, amen.